What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The seven chakras, swirling vortices of energy, positioned throughout our body from the base of the spine to the crown of the head. For thousands of years, this ancient wisdom has been passed on from master to disciple. What are the functions of these energy centers? And could these chakras help you unlock your destiny and find your true purpose? Welcome to My Seven Chakras, and now, your host, Aditya Jayakumar.
What's up, Action Tribe? AJ here, host and founder of My Seven Chakras, mysevenchakras.com, the show where we provide you breakthrough ideas, inspiring stories, and action steps that will help you transform your world. Now, before we dive into today's episode, I'd like to remind you that very soon we are launching a new experience called the Action Tribe Inner Circle, where every month I will invite an expert from the My Seven Chakras network to deliver a deep dive masterclass on a powerful topic. Some of the topics include finding your purpose, raising your self-worth, and strengthening your intuition. So if you're curious, if you're fascinated, then make sure you go to mysevenchakras.com/waitlist. Seven is a word, mysevenchakras.com/waitlist, because we've got something super special in store for you. All right, so our special guest for today is an international speaker and management consultant. As president of Livelihood, a management consulting firm in Santa Fe, New Mexico, he explores the deeper meaning of work and its contribution to society. The company's areas of service include strategic vision, corporate spirit, performance management, and creative leadership. Martin has worked with such organizations as the World Bank, Sony Pictures Entertainment, Southern California Edison, Virgin Records, Esso Petroleum, and London Life Insurance, helping them expand their outlook and position themselves for the future. Martin is a co-author of the New York Times business bestseller, Chicken Soup for the Soul at Work, with over, guess what, 1 million copies sold and translation in over 24 languages. And his new book, which we're going to speak about today, is called Project Heaven on Earth, right? The three simple questions that will help you change this world easily. So Action Tribe, please give a special round of applause for our guest for today, Martin Root. So Martin, are you ready to inspire?
I'm ready to inspire, AJ. That was a great introduction. I'm inspired by you. Thank you.
Thank you. And firstly, thanks a lot for writing this wonderful book, loads of inspiration and loads of stories and actionable steps as well, so that people can, in their own very way, take those first initial steps towards a transformation. So firstly, what inspired you to write your latest book, Project Heaven on Earth?
Well, I was going to do a speech to a conference on spirituality and work. And I was in a room by myself, just meditating, thinking, and I thought, if every business in the world is spiritual, is that what you want? Mm-hmm. And I thought, no, because if we could transform business, and business is the power, one of the powers in the world, if we could transform business, we could transform the world. And then, AJ, this thought popped into my mind, oh, you mean heaven on earth? And my first reaction was, what? You can't say that. You can't say heaven on earth. People will think you're crazy. I thought, well, wait a minute. I can talk to you about hell on earth, can't I? Mm-hmm. That's an acceptable conversation. The political situations, economic, refugees, disasters, et cetera, et cetera. We can talk about that. So then why can't we talk about the kind of life and business and work, and family and nation and world that we want? And if we had our druthers, if we had a magic wand, wouldn't we want to have heaven on earth? And so that I was just intrigued by that idea. It really, it caught hold of me, you know, it really caught a hold of me. And so I started going around asking people, what's heaven on earth for you? What's heaven on earth for you? What's heaven on earth for you? I didn't want to come in and say, look, AJ, this is heaven on earth and you got to buy my definition. Right. No, I really wanted to know what it was for you and what could I learn. And so the book came out of asking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, what is heaven on earth? What is heaven on earth? How do you create heaven on earth? How do you experience heaven on earth? And I just would listen and listen and listen. And that's where the book came from.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thanks a lot for sharing. Now, obviously, this is a paradigm shift in thinking, because you said, well, we're already speaking about hell on earth and we're experiencing it. And what if we create heaven on earth? And not just that, you got that glimpse of or that sliver of an idea, but you went outdoors and you asked people and you got their feedback and got their input. And so in a way, you were co-creating this magnificent idea. But before we dive into that, I'm sort of curious about your own childhood. How did things get started for you? Because you write that you were raised in Hamilton, Ontario, right? So how was your childhood and how did things get started?
well, we need to add one other word, which is Canada. For those people who don't know where Hamilton
Ontario, Canada. Yeah.
Canada, yes, yes. My parents were immigrants, father from the Ukraine, mother from Poland, both Jewish. We didn't speak English at home. We spoke Yiddish. I mean, very, I would say, lower middle class upbringing. Father worked in a fruit store, a hardware store. Mm-hmm. Hamilton, for those who don't know, is a steel city. And in those days, a lot of refugees, immigrants from Europe, you know, it was just after the war, came to Hamilton because they could get a good job of physical labor. They couldn't speak English very well. Mm-hmm. And so I was brought up in that kind of milieu. And I think the most important factor was that my mother, I could always remember saying, you're going to go to college.
Right.
What I studied was up to me, but the possibility of not going to college was never entered my mind.
Wow. So your mother, in fact, was an influence or a positive influence who encouraged you to go to college. And I also remember that as a result of your upbringing, because of so many different cultures that you were exposed to, you spoke many languages, right? Or at least you understood many languages.
Yeah, yeah.
That's wonderful.
Well, because my father had this, and so my father was an influence too, right, in the sense that he and his brother, my uncle, operated a fruit store and a hardware store in the east end of Canada, which was very, you know, lots of immigrants from lots of around the world. So my father spoke not well, but 8 to 10 languages. So I was always surrounded by different languages. And so I have this oral, you know, I could hear. I remember once I met this guy and I said, oh, you're from Scotland and Spain. And he went, what? How did you know that? I mean, I could hear it. I can hear the sound of the language. I know generally where people are from. It's just an ability I have. So it's a way. And so what he taught me was that my wife says it beautifully. She says to me that I don't know the meaning of the word stranger. And I think that's accurate. That is, I don't know what that word means.
Wonderful. That's a beautiful place to arrive in our at the beginning of our interview, which is, what is stranger, right? I mean, it's like you don't need to know a language as long as you know other things about the language in terms of how it sounds and then It's wonderful that you were able to say, okay, are you from Scotland? And so it's, I guess, recognizing that even though we might be from different countries, there are some similarities and there are some strings which are common to all of us human beings. Now, at a certain point beyond your childhood, you decided to start a business, right? So what inspired you at that point to start a business?
I was working for the federal government in Canada in health and welfare. And I mean, I saw very clearly that I was not going to go anywhere in this world. I just, it wasn't for me. And long story short, I met a guy in Northern Michigan who was had recently resigned as a vice president of a hospital and had put together this program, he and his partner, called Lifestyle Management. Sorry, yeah. And he was talking about things like responsibility and commitment and setting goals beyond what you believe possible, things that I'd never heard. Mm-hmm. And I said to my wife, I got to be with this guy. So I flew down to Chicago, took his course, and said, look, Bob, I want to take this to Canada. And I quit the government and started a business. And AJ, I knew nothing about business. I mean, nothing.
Okay.
But I knew that this is what I wanted to do. I mean, it's a real entrepreneurial story. You know, you see a vision, you see a product or a service, and you go, that, and you start running toward it.
Wow. I mean, it just reminds me that if you look at Noah, he didn't know how to build a ship, but he had that vision. And once you have a vision, and once it's strong enough, you can do whatever it takes in order to get there. So your story reminds me of that. Now, at a certain point, you had this.
Let me just one other thing, AJ. I just remembered this guy, Manny Bather, when I was young in business. And he was a very wealthy businessman, much older than me. And I said, Manny, I don't know anything about business. What is this thing, business? I know I want to offer this, can see the value. He said, all right, here's all you need to know. More money comes in than goes out. The rest you'll learn. And I still remember that. That was just, okay.
Yeah. Simple, straight to the point, but so profound. I mean,
really?
Some of these phrases that are shared maybe by mentors or advisors, a lot of things we forget, but some things we remember, right? I mean, it's profound and the more simple it is.
Yes. And he was speaking from years of experience. It was distilled wisdom. And he just went pop. And that was it.
Right. Got it. And moving on, at a certain point in your life, you had this deeply spiritual experience and you realized that you wanted to, like you alluded earlier in this interview, that you wanted to bring spirituality into business. So firstly, talk to us about that experience. Where were you and what was happening in your life at that point?
AJ, you just broke up a little. You mean the spiritual experience I had?
Yeah. So the point in your life where you had this epiphany or this realization that you, in fact, had to introduce spirituality into business. And so my question is, you know, where were you at that point and what was happening in your life?
This was at the end of my time working in for the federal government in Canada and having met Bob. And I was, I'm sorry. No, I'd already been running my business.
Okay.
That's right. I had come back from Hong Kong, where I'd spoken twice over the last couple of years. And I'd been speaking at Harvard at the business school on vision and things were really going great. And then I went into this funk and it was like, you know, two pieces of wood just went, and I didn't know why. It wasn't the marriage. It wasn't my wife. Everything was good in my life. So I didn't understand why. Mm-hmm. And I ended up at Augustinian monastery north of Toronto and had this very profound experience, which was it's about God. And this two little pieces of wood went click. So I came back to Toronto and said to people, I want to talk about spirituality and work. This was in the late 80s.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. You can't talk about that. People will think, you know, you're trying to shove up, you're proselytizing. This is spirituality. I'm going to shove this down your throat.
Yeah.
Everybody in Toronto said that to me, clients, colleagues. And then I went to Los Angeles and I met with a whole bunch of friends there, Jack Canfield, one of them, all of whom said, yeah, go for it. Mm. And that's when the little light went on. And it's about my fear about speaking about spirituality and work. So I came back to Toronto and started working on it. And and discovered that the fear that people have about spirituality and work is that I have the answer and I'm going to proselytize, shove this answer down your throat, which wasn't true for me, but it was there over and over and over. And the idea that popped into my head one day very clearly was, what if spirituality is an inquiry, an ongoing question rather than an answer? And as business people, we know what an inquiry is. So the inquiry we're in every day is, how do I make my business more successful?
Right.
Well, what if you choose, you just don't have to do this. What if you chose to also have an inquiry in your life called, what is spirituality for at work for me? And how do I? And once people saw that I was interested in how they saw it, mm-hmm. and in making this conversation about spirituality and work permissible, then we were off to the races. I helped catalyze conferences around the world. We set up a center for spirituality and the workplace at the Sobey School of Business in Halifax, mm-hmm. the first in Canada. And so it was all about getting this permission to have this conversation in the world. And it's the same thing about heaven on earth, is having permission to talk about heaven on earth. And we'll go more into that, I'm sure, but that was the genesis.
Struck a point over here, because through my conversations with people in my own group, I've realized that people deep down, they have this yearning to find the truth about the meaning of their existence, what is their purpose, and more importantly, what happens after this. So they want to go on this quest, but like you pointed out, they don't want somebody to tell them that this is the truth, or this is how it is, or you have to follow this. And so what you did in effect was create an environment or asked the right questions so that they themselves could go on this wonderful quest of spirituality in the context of business, because I think entrepreneurs are the most spiritual people who are able to manifest an idea from nothing to something and create these inventions and companies. So that's wonderful that you took the step, and obviously you were encouraged by your fellow conscious entrepreneurs like Jack Canfield and people that you associated with who allowed you or inspired you to take that next step. So thanks a lot for sharing. Now, a large part of what you do, at least these days, is help organizations and people discover their stories and their narrative, right? And with this book, you want to now do things on a larger scale and help people collectively really identify what their story is and then make changes to shift their story. So talk to us a bit about the power of story and how it can really help transform this world.
Yeah, that's a very profound question, AJ. So what you also said in your introduction is that I was the co-author of the New York Times business bestseller Chicken Soup for the Soul at Work, which is a book of 101 stories about work. And we would go and we would do these storytelling sessions in the workplace. We'd tell some stories from the book. And then I would ask people in the audience, tell me your stories. What do you value in your workplace? Mm-hmm. And so I began to see that stories are a way to store values. You know, if I say to you, AJ, you know, you need to be honest. Okay. But if I say, AJ, let me tell you a story.
Right.
The moment I say those words, you're, oh, okay, Martin. And then the story has something about honesty in it.
Yeah.
It's more open to it. Mm-hmm. And so when I started looking at the notion of heaven on earth, what I saw, go back, say, 5 or 10 years, AJ, and you would hear language like, the current story is not working. The current story is not working. We need a new story. We need a new story. But nobody named that story. So if I said to you, AJ, our relationship is not working, it's not working, it's not working, after a while, neither of us would be interested. But if I said, AJ, our relationship isn't working, we need a new story, and here's the name of the new story. What if of the story of our relationship is heaven on earth, and you accepted that, now we've got something. So what I was after in the sense of the story was, I have named, it's my offering, naming this new story, Project Heaven on Earth,
right,
that we are, if you choose, aligning to co-create this new story of what it means to be a human and what it means to be humanity, namely heaven on earth.
Wonderful. I mean, I think story is really powerful. And I love the example that you give, in fact, saying something versus telling a story and then sort of like a moral, it hits, you know, it's more impactful. It's more influencing. And as soon as you say, let me tell you a story, I was automatically leaning in. And I think we as humans are evolved to absorb information through stories, because we tend to not forget stories as easily as esoteric or abstract information. And naming the story, I love it.
Let me add one more other point to that, which is what we have forgotten, I think, and what I and other people are starting to do now is to say we can co-create the new story. So then the question is, so how do you create a new story? And the answer is by declaration, by saying so. In the early days, people would say, well, how could you say our new story is heaven on earth? Because I'm saying it, because I'm declaring it, because I'm giving my word about this and asking you, again, if you choose, to also make that your story.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And diving a bit deeper, what, according to you, is heaven on earth, and how can our listeners also understand what really heaven means for them, if you can elaborate on that a bit?
I will, and I'm going to elaborate in a way that's not going to answer your question the way you asked me.
Sure.
I don't want to give you an answer, because then you'll either agree or disagree with me. Rather, what I would like to do is to have you give your answer. So if you're willing, AJ, we didn't set this up beforehand, but
sure.
There's three, the basis of my book, Project Heaven on Earth, is three questions.
Yep.
And I'd like to ask you, with permission, these three questions and have your listeners and viewers answer the same question. So can we jump in here?
Yeah.
All right. AJ, recall a time when you experienced heaven on earth. What was going on?
Well, the last time I recognize multiple instances of heaven on earth, but one thing, and in fact, it's so coincidental that I've been writing a lot these days in the morning, what brings me joy and what brings me happiness. But one thing for sure that to me is heaven on earth is where I can sit across with family and people in my community, maybe on a table, and just have good food and have great conversation and make an environment where everyone gets an equal opportunity to express what ideas, thoughts, stories they have. So that for me is one version of heaven on earth. Now, this interview is heaven on earth, but what would be even better if I could sit across you in person, have coffee or tea, and then
have that discussion. Indian food.
Indian food. And you get wonderful Indian food in Vancouver. So that would be ideal, my heaven on earth, to answer your question.
All right. So, and you can bring to mind a time when you've done that.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Second question.
Okay. Yeah.
Imagine, let me just pick over here for a second. Imagine you have a magic wand. Mm-hmm. And by waving this wand, you can have heaven on earth. Mm-hmm. What's heaven on earth for you?
Heaven on earth would be to find a yoga studio or maybe a healing center. And along the same lines, invite people who are of similar minds or similar belief systems or people who want to share a story or idea and just sit around and engage in conversation or facilitate a conversation. Where again, I think I need to stress the point, allow everyone an opportunity to speak. But because what tends to happen sometimes in a group environment, there are 3 to 4 people speaking and dominating the conversation. And that to me is not heaven on earth. To me, heaven on earth is where everyone gets an opportunity to speak. I just crave such experiences from the soul level to just be amongst such energy.
Very clear.
So that's what I would do with a magic wand.
And the third question, what simple, easy, concrete step will you take in the next 24 hours to move that forward?
One step I could do is reach out to 3 to 4 friends of mine and just have a informal evening to just talk.
Very clear. So will you do that?
I'm writing it down now.
What you said is one thing I could do. And so I wanted to know, will you do that?
I will do it.
Within the next 24 hours.
Yes.
All right. So let's go through these questions because you'll see the structure here. So question number one, recall a time when you're sitting at a table with friends, with family, sharing, everyone getting a sense of speaking, being heard.
Yeah.
That was your answer. Now, what you didn't do, AJ, Mm-hmm. You didn't say when Martin would have it on Earth. What's interesting to me, AJ, is that people simply answer that question. But how could you answer that question if without knowing what I'm talking about? It's because mm-hmm. there's what I call an already knowing within you mm-hmm. that knows what heaven on earth is. And when I ask you that question, you go and you look, you scan your life, and you go, oh, the time when I, and then you answer the question.
Yeah.
That's one.
Yeah.
Two, the purpose of the magic wand is to remove the necessity of having to know how you're going to get it.
Right.
And if you don't have to know how, boom, you went right to it. Mm-hmm. The yoga studio, the sitting around, the talking, everybody gets a chance to talk and be heard.
Yeah.
And then we're not just going to leave it at that. We're actually going to make it happen. Yeah. How? Within 24 hours, you will reach out to a minimum of three friends mm-hmm. and invite them to begin to do that. That's the let's call that the founding of your center. And then that becomes your contribution, a contribution by you to creating heaven on earth.
Got it. That's a really, really good idea, because it has the action part of it. It has the visualization part of it. And it's also allowing you to look back into your memories. Because like you said, there's always this knowing within you, which I think is powerful. Now, you also write in your book about certain roadblocks or obstacles or challenges that tend to manifest whenever we embark on this project of our dreams. So what is the purpose of these roadblocks and how do we approach them?
So what I've learned from my consulting over years with people and their vision is that the bigger the vision, the bigger the roadblocks.
Mm.
And so not always, but generally. And so what people tend to do is make a smaller vision so they don't have to engage with a larger roadblock. Mm. But what I'm saying to you is, no, we want these larger visions, yes, and roadblocks to emerge. Things like, I believe I can do it. We've never had heaven on earth before. Who am I to do it? I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm black, white, whatever. You know, it's Tuesday. Whatever reason you can come up with, it's sacrilegious. It's only God can create heaven on earth. Mm-hmm. Whatever, it's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole chapter in the book about all of these, what I call misbeliefs. And the reason they're misbeliefs is if we focus on them, they become a brick wall.
Yeah.
If we focus on the vision, heaven on earth, that wall falls and becomes a brick roadway to getting there. So it's don't try to get rid of the roadblocks in the sense of, I will only go for very, very small goal, because then there's no roadblocks. Go to heaven on earth. See what your roadblocks are. Engage with them. Mm-hmm. But make the focus on heaven on earth.
Mm. Got it. So what you focus on happens. And I think I'm really trying to embody this also, because I've got certain visions and certain projects I'd like to embark on. And, you know, sometimes, like you've mentioned, obstacles seem to come. But what's amazing is that the larger the vision, the larger the obstacle. But like you've said, just focus on the end goal and just keep taking action. And you also write about in your book about gateways. And you've encouraged your readers to choose a great gateway as their entry point into creating heaven on earth. So what are these gateways that you write about?
So as I've interviewed people, hundreds and hundreds, thousands of people, about what's heaven on earth for you, what's heaven on earth for you?
Yeah.
I began to see, AJ, patterns in the answers. And these patterns kept repeating. So I finally said, these are the gateways into heaven on earth. So like what? Well, like inner. There are people who say the more heaven on earth in here, in me, the more it will show up in the world. So there's a whole chapter on how do you get more of that within you, or get rid of the junk that's not in the way. For others, it's living a value. My wife's value is joy. As she walks into a room, joy is there. That's her value.
Right.
For others, it's relationship. Our relationship, AJ, is hell on earth, and I want it to be heaven on earth. Good. Right. What do I need to do that? Another gateway is ending a suffering. For some people, heaven on earth is ending poverty, ending war, ending illiteracy. Institutions. What if the purpose, another gateway, what if the purpose of law, government, business was to help co-create heaven on earth? What would that institution do? Mm-hmm. And then your nation. I have a woman hopefully she's listening now, Elizabeth in Austria. And I asked her once, you know, what's your Heaven on Earth project? And she said, oh, Austria is a Heaven on Earth nation. Mm. And I went, whoa, why do you say that? She said, because it's simple. So part of what this is about is finding your simple. Mm-hmm. What is the simple action you can take that is simple to you that you'll just take in the next 24 hours? So for you, it's phoning those minimum of three friends. Yep. Great. I want you to start.
And in fact, Elizabeth is watching. She had shared a comment earlier and she says, greetings from Austria to Martin. I'm not sure if she's watching. Elizabeth, if you're watching right now, please drop a comment and let us know that you're here.
Gute Nacht, Elizabeth. Danke. She, you know, I'm glad she's watching. She really opened this doorway for me. When I told, you know, we did this webinar and I said, what's your project? And she said, Austria is a Heaven on Earth nation. Why? Because it's simple. And I have told that story so many times because it's, and she's an angel of Heaven on Earth. She puts it out. She's taken the book, my book to the president of Austria.
No way. That's amazing. What I like about your project is that it talks about something that can be huge, but it's simple as well. And there's a immediacy over there, 24 hours, take some kind of small step. Action Tribe, if you're listening, if you're watching, there are different ways in which you can explore or take a gateway to your version of heaven on earth, whether it's your inner heaven, because you recognize that the universe around you is just a mirror of what's happening inside of you, whether it's your relationships, you want to transform a relationship and make that your heaven on earth, whether it's your values, you want to recognize whatever value you really embody, whether it's joy or happiness or integrity, or maybe it's something more larger, like you want to end global suffering, promote education, end a certain type of disease, provide more education opportunities for people. And what we're realizing over here is that 24 hours, whatever your version of heaven on earth is, you got to take some kind of action that will set the momentum for what you are going to create and manifest. So wonderful. Thanks a lot for sharing, Martin. Now, when it comes to clarifying one's vision, you've sort of alluded to that, but I want to speak a bit more about this. You encourage people to use a magic wand, because a magic wand, like you've said, it relieves you of the necessity of knowing how something will be achieved. You say you don't have to be constrained by knowing how something will get done. So talk to us about this idea of not having to worry about the how, because I can imagine some of our listeners going, if I don't worry about the how will I ever get there? I've got so many things working against me, my finances, my relationships, I don't have the right opportunity. So a little bit more, if you could talk to us about how not worrying about the how can actually help us get there.
It's because, AJ, people are so concerned with how, especially if it's a large vision.
Yeah.
So here's this large vision, but I don't know how to do it because I've never done it before. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, then that's the end of it. Or I'll only do those things that I know how to do.
Okay.
If you only do those things you know how to do, you'll consistently do what you know how to do. I'm asking you to step out and say, if using the magic wand again, what is it that you want? What's heaven on earth for you? What's your vision? Mm-hmm. And then say, okay, now I'm clear, because what is the first question? How is the second question? People get that mixed up. They think they have to answer how first. Yep. I need to know how I'm going to do it. Then I'll tell you what I'm going to do. In the arena of vision, in the arena of heaven on earth, it's backwards. You have to answer the question, what do I want? And so what the magic wand exercise does is remove the necessity for having to know how. And if you don't have to know how for the moment, you jump into the what. And so then the next question is, okay, so I now know what my vision is. I know what now know what heaven on earth is for me. Mm-hmm. So when I started this, for example, I had no idea how to do heaven on earth. There was nothing. Nobody knew. People thought I was crazy. Never mind not even knowing how.
Yeah.
But all I knew was, okay, here's the next tiny step, the next tiny step, the next tiny step.
Okay.
Those day after day after day after day after day, momentum starts to build.
And so far, what has been your most inspiring or amazing heaven on unearthed project that you've seen so far? Is there anything that could give our listeners some idea or spark that interest and curiosity in our listeners?
Yeah, let me give you a couple of examples.
Sure.
Because I think I pulled some stuff out for you here to see.
Sure.
So one is what Elizabeth is doing, very simple. One, yep, in Austria, for her. One is a woman in Hawaii, who was in Hawaii, Susan Alima Fryer. She embedded her definition of heaven on earth at the end of every email she sends out. So she says at the end of every email, here's a magic wand. With it, you can have heaven on earth. What's heaven on earth for you?
Mm.
And then she says, for me, heaven on earth is, and she answers it. Simple. Mm. Out it goes with every email. So people in Kenya who created a little, you see that?
Yep, yep.
Little armband. The woman here, I'm in Prince Edward Island, Canada at the moment. You see that? She created heaven on earth soap.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep, yep.
A woman here as well, because there's a lot of people on Prince Edward Island who are into this. Can you see that? Heaven on earth tea.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. I love the packaging, by the way.
That's available, Lady Baker tea.
Mm.
So here's the same woman who did the soap, created these little silver shells, pewter shells. You turn it around.
Hmm. Nice. That's amazing.
More examples. A police officer in Lubbock, Texas, created a 16-page manual called Heaven on Earth for Law Enforcement. A woman in outside of Halifax, Canada. We were talking, one of the sufferings in the world, AJ, for her was violence against women.
Okay.
She came up with this idea called Making Change, in which she asked people to donate a penny a day to help end violence against women. And she took that to the government of Canada, who gave them, that organization, $100,000 for each of the subsequent 3 years. So I think what overall inspires me is when people resonate with this, the ideas that pop into their mind that they do. Mm-hmm. If you go to my website, projectheavenonearth.com, on stories, there's like, I think, 63 different stories of what people are doing. Surely one of those will inspire you.
So there you go, Action Tribe. The idea over here is to personalize this experience and create your own version of heaven on earth. As we're learning, there are so many different people, whether you're creating soap or you're manufacturing tea or you're a police officer or you're somewhere in Kenya, or maybe you just want to empower women. You have that, your version of Heaven on Earth project that is waiting for you to manifest and create. Now, Martin, I'm curious. I mean, you've accomplished so many things in your life. You've done consulting. You've advised large companies. You've written so many books. And you've inspired a movement of people around the world who are now empowered. They have that sense of possibility that change is, in fact, possible today.
Yeah.
So how do you go about manifesting something that you really desire? Is there a routine that you engage on a daily basis? Because I'm curious. I want to get some of that, some of that inspiration as well.
Actually, this idea also came from Elizabeth in Germany and in Austria. She has this idea of doing a meditation every day at 7 p.m., creating your own meditation at 7 p.m. wherever you are in the world.
Okay.
And so the meditation that my wife and I do at 7 p.m. at night, and more recently we started to do it in the morning and sometimes during the day, is we say, with love and thanks, with love and thanks, we are experiencing heaven on earth. Mm-hmm. We are creating heaven on earth, and we are co-creating heaven on earth. So that's one thing we do. And then 2 years ago, I came up with this idea that every entire year, I would write down at least 3 heaven on earth experiences. And why I love that, AJ, is because it made me look for it. Every day I had to write it down, 3 or more.
And every day?
Every day. I mean, some days I'd miss a day and, back and write it. But every day I wrote. And so, What's a ritual that you can do daily that will inspire you? It could be with other people. So my wife and I do it. And when other people come to our home, here to our cottage, we ask them if they'd like to be part of it as well. And of course, I'm doing something every day, like podcasts. You know, I've done, I don't know, 90 podcasts in the last year, a little over a year, writing the book. You know, this is my life's purpose at this time.
Well, thanks a lot for that wonderful inspiration. What is that one action step that you'd like to recommend to listeners based on what you've shared so far?
Well, a couple of things. I would really invite you to buy this book. And by the way, can you say what the title is? Because there's something about the title that's interesting.
Project Heaven on Earth, 3 simple questions that will help you change the world easily.
Now, there's another title, AJ. Project Heaven on Earth.
Mm. Yeah, I read that. That's amazing. Ingenious.
That came from Richard Porter, a good friend of mine. Okay. So I'm inviting you to buy 3 copies of the book, one for you, one for somebody right now in your life. Think of somebody who you know needs this, and one for somebody who's going to come into your life. You can also, it's available, my book's on Amazon. Also sign up for my free course at projectheavenonearth.com. So projectheavenonearth.com online, and you'll get a 7-day course, and you'll get a free blog. We want to marinate you in heaven on earth and look at it from all these different perspectives and have guest columnists come in, write about what heaven on earth is for them. This Sunday, I'll have a little girl who's, I think, 11 or 12 years old, and I interviewed her. She's both at, she lives in Germany and in the U.S. She speaks German and U.S. American, and she answers my questions, and it's quite lovely. And I have another thing called The Case for Heaven on Earth. Mm-hmm. If you buy 20 books, send me the receipt. Mm-hmm. I will do a free 1-hour webinar for you and your group. So that's just begun, and that's taken out. I can't believe that's. I'm happy with that.
Action Tribe, to access the show notes for this episode, visit my7chakras.com/340. That's my7 is a word, my7chakras.com/340. Action Tribe, if you're enjoying today's session so far, especially if you're on your iPhone, then make sure you hit subscribe, because that'll ensure that you don't miss out on any future episode release. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. I like it when a flower or a little tuft of grass grows through a crack in the concrete. It is so heroic. Now, this is an amazing quote by George Carlin. Action Tribe, strength isn't just intensive physical strength, because usually an obstacle isn't overcome with just one attempt. It takes multiple attempts, it takes not giving up, and it takes coming back again and again and again until the obstacle, well, it just gives in. So don't feel that the only one people with big biceps or shoulders are strong or heroic. Like we're finding out today, even a small tuft of grass or a flower with the right approach, with the right mindset and resiliency, can overcome that fierce force of concrete. So Martin, could you talk to us about one moment or one incident when you experienced a very difficult moment or a challenge in your life? And what steps did you sort of take to overcome that challenge?
I'll tell you the challenge most recently that I've been up against, which is what I'm calling internet addiction. Okay. So worse than heroin. I like to watch the news. Yep. And I have a friend of mine who announced to me recently that she was an alcoholic. And she talked about her addiction to alcohol in the same way as I was seeing my addiction to the internet. Yeah. And AJ, that really was like a slap. It was like a punch in the gut. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've really begun to turn this ship. And I can see how hard it must be to, you know, if you're an addict to really like serious stuff, drugs, heroin, booze, I don't know, whatever, gambling, what that does to you. Mm-hmm. And how it closes you down and doesn't allow this, your soul, to express itself fully in the world. So I think that's the hardest, I'd say one of the hardest things that I've been grappling with.
Well, that's really true. I mean, it's quite fascinating. Something that looks so innocent, like our phones and social media, can be very addictive. And it's true. I've heard that when they research these apps, especially in Silicon Valley, They're studying the mind. They're studying what sort of gets us addicted. How will we get that dopamine hit, especially every time we see a notification or send that email, or we sort of crave to receive these notifications. And like you've pointed out, it sort of brings us down and doesn't allow us to focus on what's more meaningful in life. I myself have tried to really reduce the amount of social media that I'm doing, and more creation and less consumption. But it's so true. It's so profound. And I'm sure our listeners will get some insight into what they can do to sort of overcome this internet and social media addiction.
Yeah, I think it's an issue that's arisen in society now. When you hear people in Silicon Valley who work there saying, I don't allow my children to go out right. the and you work in that business, hello.
Wow. So so thanks a lot for being vulnerable and in sharing your challenge with us. Action Tribe, I hope you enjoyed today's session so far. And I hope that today's discussion has sparked some thoughts in your mind about creating your heaven on earth project for the betterment of humanity or your own self, because we realize that the universe around us is a mirror of the universe within. It might be challenging. And there will be obstacles that you run into. But if you go beyond your limited thinking and make a commitment to working collectively towards bringing your project to life, then no one can stop you. That's what we're learning today. Now, for this to happen, you will need a lot of energy, which means taking adequate rest, healing yourself, getting enough sleep, and also ensuring that you have the right amount of nutrition. Food, supplements, superfoods. And it also means spending more time in nature, because like we're discovering, nature has the cure and nature has the answer. So make sure that you're matching your own rhythm with that of nature, because just as Henry David Thoreau once said, live in each season as it passes, breathe the air, drink the drink, taste the fruit, and resign yourself to the influence of the earth. So think about that for a moment. And with that, we are entering the last round for today, which is called the Wisdom Round, which has four questions so that our listeners can take note and take action. So Martin, what is the best piece of advice that someone has ever given you?
I'm thinking of a guy named Don. I forgot his last name years ago when I worked for the federal government in Canada. And he'd been in the government, he was about to retire soon, and he said, don't get stuck here. And it was like a slap in the face, a loving slap in the face. And I think that was part of the beginning of my process of leaving the government and going out on my own, striking out on my own.
Thanks a lot for sharing. And if you could turn back time and spend 1 hour with someone who is currently living or dead, who would it be?
You know who I would like to spend? Wow, that's a shot question. Moses.
Okay.
I would really like to talk to him about, you know, what was it like on the mountain, getting the message, coming down, hearing people not believing you, leading your people to the promised land. That would be an amazing experience to be with him.
Wonderful. And what is the one thing that you do in the morning or maybe in the evening before you sleep that has really improved the quality of your life?
I do the affirmation, the heaven on earth affirmation. And I used to just do it at 7 p.m. at night. And now when I wake up, mm-hmm. my wife's sleeping beside me, everything's quiet. And I do that 3 or 4 times. And it sets the day up for me.
Wonderful. I was actually looking for some ideas for evening routines, because it seems like, especially these days, I've got a decent morning routine. I spend the first hour of the day, 20 minutes movement, 20 minutes reflection, 20 minutes some kind of reading. But I think your advice for that evening affirmations is something that I'm going to implement for sure.
Well, we'll put a link. I'll send you a link to that blog so okay. people can see the exact questions that I use.
Perfect. And if you could recommend one book for our listeners today, what would it be?
You know, when I saw that question, I was thinking, I got a book, it must have been like 50 years ago, okay. called I Am That. Do you know the book?
I've heard about that, but if you could elaborate.
Yeah, it's by Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj, I Am That.
Yeah.
It is, I still have not finished reading that book. It is about pure consciousness. I remember the first time I read I think like a sentence, AJ, or two sentences. And I put it away for 6 months. It was so strong. So that, I love reading his, he is about pure consciousness. So it's called I Am That, and other books by him.
Wonderful. This was actually recommended just a while back on our show. And the fact that you are saying it again means that I need to definitely check out that book. Thanks a lot for sharing. Action Tribe, would you like to receive your own book for free? That's right, because audible.com is offering all our listeners, all the members of Action Tribe, one free audio book with a 30-day trial so that you can try out this new way of consuming books, which is listening to books instead of reading them. So if you'd like to try out this new service, then go to my7chakras.com/freebook, my7chakras.com/freebook, because they've got a huge library of various books that will really, really inspire you so that even if you're traveling, you can just switch on your phone, press a button and start listening to these books. Now, Martin, thank you so much for joining us on today's episode. It was so engaging, inspiring. You sharing your stories, inspiring us with your wisdom, and also making it very simple, palatable, and actionable for all our listeners to start their own personalized heaven on earth projects. So thanks a lot for that.
Thank you, AJ. Thanks. Great interview. Thank you.
And before you go, tell us one thing that you're grateful for and how we can find you online.
You know what? I'm grateful for you because you did two things in this interview. One is you actually looked at my book.
Thank you.
Which may not sound like a great deal, but I won't speak about others. But the questions were thought out before. Thank you. I also felt you listening. I mean, you're not ready to jump to the second question immediately. You listen, reflect on that, and then that leads you to. So that's a very rare talent. So thank you. What was your question? What do I like to? Oh yeah, how can you find out more? Yeah. ProjectHeavenOnEarth.com, online on Amazon. ProjectHeavenOnEarth.com. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's got the autographed copy.
Yeah, I'm the lucky one. Thank you so much. Oops, right here.
There you go.
Well, I really appreciate it. And now that I've got those two kind words from you, my day is obviously going to be great. Action Tribe, we'll have the links up in the show notes so that you can get your own copy of this book, because it's not just inspiring, but it's very actionable. It's almost like a book plus a workbook. So you can, jot your ideas down and hold yourself accountable. And really, it might seem small right now, that one action that you're going to take, but who knows, within a couple of weeks, months, or even years, you'll have a whole moment in front of you because of this one interview that you listened to. And when you do that, make sure you reach out to Martin and you share your story, because that's going to be super inspiring. If you're on Instagram, take a screenshot of this episode and tag me so that I can share your story with our community. My handle is @my7chakras, @my7chakras. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and the other platforms. And if you're curious about our new project, Action Tribe Inner Circle, visit my7chakras.com/waitlist, my7chakras.com/waitlist. Martin, thank you so much for coming on our show, talking to us about creating heaven on earth and taking us one step closer to a human revolution.
Thank you, AJ.
Thank you for listening to My Seven Chakras at my7chakras.com. That is my7chakras.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.